FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
This episode of the Financial Survival Network is brought to you in part by Sandstorm Gold Royalties. Sandstorm Gold Royalties is a different kind of gold company. They purchase royalties on select mining operations and receive a percentage of the revenue in return. Sandstorm now has a portfolio of over 185 gold royalties around the world. See how gold royalties differ from other gold mining investments at sandstormgold.com. That's sandstormgold.com. Sandstorm Gold Royalties trades on the TSX as SSL and on the New York Stock Exchange American as SAND.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 1919. Yeah, you heard that right. 1919. So if you're into numerology, go check that out. Otherwise, you're in for a treat today. But as always, the email address is kl@kerrylutz.com for those of you who'd like to participate, get involved in the show. Well, a little ambulance action there, but we'll leave that in. We're not going to edit it out. We don't edit out much ever. So one of the best ways in the new economy to get ahead is through sales. But of course, very few of you out there are born salespeople. It is a learned profession. Every much of a profession as an accountant, a lawyer, a doctor. You want to get good at it, you got to study and you got to work hard, and you really have to dedicate yourself to. But there are ways that you can kind of get a head start, a jump start, if you will. I'm becoming a great salesperson, and I've come across a gentleman who is an expert in helping you do this, Benjamin Brown. The website is 360salesconsulting.com. That's 360, the numbers, salesconsulting.com. And Benjamin, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, so sales. You know, it's often said that good salesmen are made, not born. You think that's true?
Yes. You have to have a process. We are natural born salesmen because children are the best sellers because all they know how to do is close.
Ask for the order or ask daddy to place the order because I want it now. And, you know, they don't pay attention to no. It's like no is just a yes waiting to be converted. And, you know, and they know what they want. They've always got their goal in mind. And it's a rare parent that can say no consistently to a child and still preserve peace and harmony in the home. Not to say that there are times you shouldn't say no to your child. Of course there is. But there's also those times where they kind of fall in the middle. You have to choose your battle. So children are the best salespeople. They're natural at it. So how do you rediscover your inner child salesperson?
Well, most of the time I have to dispel the myth of what a sale actually is, because first of all, a lot of people don't understand what that means. And when people say the negative connotations, I don't want to sound too salesy, which doesn't exist, or I don't want to come across overbearing. And they have a fear. It's basically 60% of sales is confident. So I teach, if you like or love your product, you're confident about your product, getting it in people's hands and helping them. And most of the time when I work with people, I have to back all the way up to the beginning of the time and explain what sales actually is. Because when I ask that, many people don't know what it is.
And what is sales?
So I tell people, based upon my 24 years of experience, what is a sale, right? Mm-hmm. And they look at me and they're money, monetization. No, a sale is getting someone to move. It's very simple. Getting somebody to look at your website, getting somebody to click on your website, getting somebody to download something. These are all processes to get people to gradually move towards you, to build know, like, and trust. So the reason I say that, because a lot of people out there or businesses do a lot of talking. Talking doesn't get people to move. So they think that they're selling, and they're actually talking. That's the people that quick pitch, right? They don't introduce themselves. They just go directly into the spiel. And it's a numbers game. So that's their game, is just to talk to as many people as they can and go directly into the presentation. And you get that from your telemarketers that call you at 6 o'clock at night when you're eating your steak, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there was a time when we took calls from telemarketers. But, you know, now in this day and age, people are so immune from telemarketing calls, and you don't answer your phone if you don't know who it is. How do you fight trends like that for somebody you're trying to make your living off of telemarketing and nobody answers the phone?
Well, you have what's called auto dialers, mm-hmm. right? So the speed of the process, so instead of a normal human can make 50 calls, an auto dialer can probably make around 600 within that same time frame. That's why when you get the call, if you're interested, press 1.
Yeah.
Or you having a robotic person talking to you or a message that's already out there. And those are called the fronters. So anybody, if you depending on the amount of people, somebody will always buy. Right? Somebody always will buy. Just depends on how many, prime example, when somebody came up with the pet rock, if you look at that idea, that would never work. But they made millions on the pet rock, right? So somebody's always willing to buy regardless. And so that's what speed dialers and auto dialers are for. Most people don't pick up their phones and things like that. But in telemarketing, you still have to get past that. There's always somebody that's willing to listen. But you can have them listen, but can you get them to move? And that's where the sales process starts.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. So we talked about technology. We talked about all these things, but let's face it, most salespeople out there are failures. Or if they're not failures, you're not succeeding the way that you want to be succeeding, both in terms of income and results and self-esteem and all that stuff. What do you do?
Well, you have to start from the beginning. It's the mindset. You have to be successful at failing, right? And most people don't know how to fail. We live in a society where you get a trophy for everything. Everything is rewarded. People think that when they have a product, they love to have an email campaign or something. Because you look at it from just two standpoints, right? There's reactive and there's proactive selling. Reactive selling, a lot of people love that, and you would love it, where you have a website or people just contacting you or walking by your store and they're interested or you're at a booth. That's reactive selling. What we're talking about when it comes to sales is, can you be proactive? What that means is being outbound, contacting people, networking, where you do that. And a lot of people are not comfortable with that because they're not used to the numbers when it comes to failing. And that goes back to confidence. So sales is very complicated, but very simple at the same time. But you have to understand what you're doing. It is a conversation that you're having with someone, but you're doing a number of things in that conversation in your head at the same time. And the most important thing, you're listening to the other person. So you actually have to be good at multitasking to be good at sales. And I always say the difference between a good and a great salesperson is the number of questions that you ask. So if your confidence level is not up, you're not going to ask the tough questions to get what you need to figure out if you can help.
Yeah. So it's obviously the best salespeople are those who listen the most and often talk the least, right? But the problem is that all of that's easier said than done. Excuses, mm-hmm. right? I think in sales, there's no other profession where you are more responsible for your success or your mm-hmm. failure than in sales. But it is possible to pick the wrong product to be selling, right? Isn't that possible that you can just pick a lemon product or a bad company to work for, and that really does hamper your chances of success? I mean, great salespeople generally are found selling great products, right?
Well, good question. Good point, mate. So when I started in business, it's like, oh, I'll work with anybody, blah, blah, blah. So I start setting my criteria because people wasn't responding or doing the work that was needed to be successful, which means I was not successful. So my criteria, my interview process to work with people is, my motto is, if you like it, love it. If you either like it, love it, or leave it. If you don't like or love your product, leave it, because it doesn't come through. It's like if you found out that you had a cure for cancer, right? Oh my goodness, It could service so many people. Can you get it out there? Can you sell it? Do you like it? Mm-hmm. Or are you just trying to make money?
Right.
Right? You still have to sell it. So a lot of people will pick these products, which they think will fly off the shelves, and then they realize they have to sell it. Mm-hmm. And most businesses say, I can't wait to make enough money to hire a salesperson to do that for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to find that person to do it for the product and train them if you don't do it yourself.
And here's the thing. Another problem is many companies, when they're developing sales management talent, they just take their best-selling salespeople and say, all right, you're a sales manager now. That doesn't always work well, because just because you're great at sales doesn't mean you're great at managing people and developing talent.
Great point. Yes. Great point. You might be a good player, but are you a good coach?
Yeah. So how do you find good sales? And then on the other hand, you don't want a sales manager who really can't walk the walk and only talks the talk, right?
I work with major companies. They hire me to actually find people because I know how to discriminate between a good and great salesperson and also sales managers. Because if there's one thing a salesperson should be able to do, it's sell themselves in an interview.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the first thing. So you bring the person on, you're selling them to come work for you. They're looking at opportunity to make money. And sometimes, it gets bad. We call them gigs, just like comedians. And, how long am I going to be here? What the product is? How do you want me to push it, right?
Yeah.
So the thing about it is that if you don't understand sales and don't have a process, most companies fail at giving the proper tools to the salespeople to be successful. And that mm-hmm. might be training. That might be product knowledge. That might be the process. A number of things. But most companies are lacking in the tools that they give to sales reps to be successful. So if you don't have enough tools to be successful at a company, more than likely that relationship is going to end and you'll go somewhere else or they'll let you go. And most companies they hire a mass amount of people, and if you can cut it, you can cut it, especially 100% commission, because there's mm-hmm. no skin off their back.
Yeah, well, but there's a cost involved, but we could talk about that, in terms of training, in terms of they're taking up oxygen in the room and computing power, all these things. But I want to mm-hmm. tell you my experience. I always thought mm-hmm. if only I had the right salespeople, things would be perfect. And you know what? I was right, because I was hiring the wrong people. We were selling legal printing. The company was mm-hmm. performing mediocre, was profitable, but never realized its full potential. And we had the sales manager, and finally I said, there's so many lawyers out there who can't make a living. We should just only hire lawyers, because that way when they're calling up the prospect who's also an attorney, they can say they're an attorney and they're not lying. And we hired people. Plus, lawyers generally had superior communication skills. Lawyers generally weren't afraid to work, although that's not 100% true. There's a lot of lazy lawyers out there, and I'm one of them. But the fact is that that lawyers really goal-oriented, a lot of good things. Once we hired real attorneys to go out and do this job, our sales, I think they went up about 2.5-3 times over the course of 18 months, to the point where, we either had to sell the company or invest a large amount of money in production. And for personal reasons, we sold. But mm-hmm. point is, my sales manager, Fred, was a diamond in the rough. He used to say, well, I want to, my ideal applicant, he's got a lot of debt, a family, and obligations. And I think mm-hmm. there's something to that, but I don't think that, I think that's where it begins, not where it ends.
Right. You want somebody depending on, and you probably can attest to this, right? The toughest sales to be done is basically in three markets, which I've over my past experience. Number one is lawyers. So congratulations on that, because you got lawyers to go against lawyers,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. Lawyers are too analytical. They get too caught up in the muck into the wording. They slow the process down because they want to analyze everything. So that's good. You got another lawyer to have the patience to deal with lawyers. So that was perfect there. Number two is doctors, because doctors can't make a decision. They're not business orientated. They're doctors. So when you sell them, they don't understand the process. They're normally so caught up in all the other stuff that the office manager or one of the partners or something like that is very difficult. And they're always either at a convention or in surgery, right?
Yeah.
I think for lawyers, even in court, so on and so forth. And the third highest is actually the automobile industry, selling advertising to general managers of car sales, which I've done that. So in those three aspects, which out of 10 is the highest for selling difficulty, I tell owners that you need to get some dogs. And they look at me and I'm like, you need dogs. So you're looking at dogs in that same respect, people who have families that, you know, eagerness, tenacity to understand what they're doing wrong. Because when you have a salesperson that's willing to point back at themselves to figure out their fault is when you have a great salesperson. When you have somebody who thinks they're complete and know everything, there's problems.
Yeah. So one of the problems you have is you got to get these people to pick up the phone, to smile and dial, as it were, right? And
absolutely.
That's not easy. So because if the person isn't self-motivated, there's very little that you can do to motivate that person, correct?
Well, people do games, giveaways. There's different ways to motivate people. So that's where you're talking about a good sales manager, because that's one of the skills they must acquire, because even now in the beginning when they start or somewhere down the line where the motivational lacks just due to the humanity, they have to find ways to pick them up. That's why they send people to seminars or they bring in a motivational speaker or something like that. Same thing as football. I use a lot of sports analogies, right? How are you going to get these guys to do what you want them to do? So you have to know, just like you know your customer, you have to know your salespeople. So some buttons work on some doesn't work on others.
Right. So, and some don't work on anybody. You know, they're brilliant people.
Yeah, you gotta let that one go.
Right. So what about the concept that you're always trying to get rid of the bottom 10%? Is that something you really want to do? Because at some point, one of the people who's your stars could eventually be in your bottom 10%, right?
Well, it goes across the board. It really depends on organically, right? Sometimes you want to get rid of the top 10%. You've been in situations like that, right? So people could change, and you give them time to change. And once again, that relies based on what tools you have, right? Mm-hmm. What is your SOP, your standard operating procedure? And most organizations don't have that. What do we do when this happens? What do we do if this happens? What do we do if this happens? So most of the people are in a reactive mode. They react when something actually happens rather than prepare for it.
Proactive.
So when I go into an organization and I say, what is your standard operating procedure for your sales team? That means your sales process. That means your numbers, your goals. And most organizations fall short on that.
They draw a blank. Huh?
So,
like, what are you talking about?
I tell them, if you're looking to sell your company and somebody walks in tomorrow that bought the company, how are they going to operate the sales team if they don't know how to operate it, right?
Mm-hmm. Very, very true. And that's why you need to think of these things in advance. You know, I like to think that we had a very sophisticated sales team. This is 20 years ago. I sold this company. I had written a CRM. I didn't even know what a CRM was then. They didn't call it that. I called it a lead management program. And it enabled me to see that all of the leads were being contacted. It enabled them, before email, to generate emails, or rather to generate letters that went out. Our postage was ridiculous, but it was so effective because we were in contact with the prospect every step of the process, and it was a deadline. If the case was going ahead, they had to do it within a certain amount of time or forget it. So it worked really well. So keeping these salespeople accountable, so both to themselves and to you, the sales manager, is one of your most important jobs, isn't it?
Yeah, because I mean, simplify it. It's all based on numbers. A lot of people fall down is because they don't have an SOP or contact management system, right? They don't know when to call.
Mm.
They don't know when to follow up, and they don't follow up.
Yeah.
It's a tremendous amount of people that just don't follow up. You know, organizations I go in and I'm like, You know, how do you know when to call these people back? Well, we have an Excel spreadsheet. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, that's really? The first sign of failure. The first sign of failure. You could just put in, I can't even remember the programs that were available after I created mine, but they were contact managers. They weren't particularly for sales, but even if you just use a contact manager, you're far better off because you can schedule everything. Now the CRMs, you got one page CRM. You can your emails, bang out an email the second you get off the phone with a guy. It's going to flash up every contact. That thing costs $12 a seat a month. Not the best, not mm-hmm. the most sophisticated, but certainly more effective than a Excel or a Google app spreadsheet, right?
I recommend, not to plug, but, you know, with people with small organizations, when I cover that, I like PipeDrive. It's very easy. It works on your phone. And that's one of the things is that it's notifying you. So you have an assistant that works for you if you know how to work it right. And you formulate your deals and timelines and all that stuff. And it's very simple. It's $10 a month. Right. And most organizations that are making six figures or above sometimes doesn't have anything. And I express this to them. Your CRM is your bank,
mm-hmm.
right? That's your bank. So if you come out with a new product, you want to fund that based upon what you already sold them. If it's an add-on or something like that, you can go directly back into that CRM and sell that product to them because you already built the know, like, and trust because they already bought from you. And so you have ability to go back in at any time and draw money from previous customers. Not only that, but in my book, Master Your Art of Closing the Sale, is generate referrals. So your follow-up on them is to follow up and ask for referrals, and your business will grow by 20, 40% just by doing that. And most organizations don't understand the referral process.
Yes, it's so true. They don't get it. And I found it for myself. It was an amazing thing. When I was doing sales, and I'd call up a guy and he said, you know, I'm not handling that case, so-and-so is. And I said, do you happen to have his number? And mm-hmm. he'd give me the guy's number, and I would call up and I'd say, hey, Joe Blow, you know, suggested that I give you a call on Smith versus mm-hmm. Jones. Mm-hmm. You doing anything with that? And boom, like, it was a referral. In effect, it was a very weak referral, but it was a referral right. nonetheless. And that really, mm-hmm. really made such a difference. I was kind of amazed at the simplicity of it and the power of name dropping. That's what it comes down to, right? And
well, what I say when it comes to referrals, and I give an example, I sold a customer and then he gave me three referrals. And out of the referrals, I sold two of them. And he came back to me a couple of days later and said to me, you know, this product's not working. I would like a refund on it. And I had no problem because he gave me double the sales back. Right? So my customer service went up and he gave me a testimonial. They were very courteous, didn't deny, gave me 100% refund, blah, blah, blah. I was able to put that on. And then 6 months later, somebody said, you know, I see that your customer service is up to par. If there's a problem, you had no problem giving people refunds. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, great. What do you have? Like, you know, it gives you the ability to, you know, generate customer service for people. If you want a return, you give me five referrals and I sell two of them, you want a refund, here you go. Credit back the credit card, you know, apologize and just keep moving instead of most people hide from them, don't answer the call, don't answer the emails, you know, trying to give them a partial, trying to negotiate, trying to say it's wrong. You don't have time for that. So the key in the sales consulting is somebody you're working with that's going to actually close the time distance between sales. That's
right.
All a consultant does. You might get one on Monday. You might get one on Friday. My job is to close that. So you'll get one on Monday. You get one on Thursday. You get one on Monday, one on Wednesday, one on Monday, one on Tuesday, and maybe two on Monday.
Yeah.
And that's basically the basis of it, period.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Hey, I want to convey a story to you of a company that, in my opinion, had everything screwed up. So they They would hire 5-10 people at a time selling a luxury item and calling on people to buy this luxury item. I won't go into what it is because that would tip it off. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. they'd pay a draw of $1,000 a week. And then, but after 2 weeks, if you didn't produce, your draw went down to minimum wage. Mm-hmm. Is that lunacy or what?
Hey, sink or swim.
I know, but still, like, don't pay the draw in the first place. It's kind of a bait and switch. They didn't tell you that, like, hey, if you don't produce after 2 weeks, we're cutting you to minimum wage. And there were people, like, trying to work, make it in this place, and were literally working for free. And it just seems like a bad way, because your sales staff is your backbone. I found out, like, I didn't really succeed in business, like I said, till we hired the right people and then we properly incentivized them, which was giving them a 15% commission on collections. So they had an incentive to collect as well. And it was the best compensation program in the industry. And these guys could make six figures, mid six figures, with not a ton of work. And, you know, like, I just realized that any company, the key to their success, all other things aside, is the quality of your people and your people's ability to connect and to service the client. It's just, you can't do it without people. And they seem to think that their people were interchangeable and just like cogs in a machine, right?
Well, sales machine. And I also say the main thing that you want to do if you're looking at these people as long-term is building a culture, a sales team culture. And so you might have a bad apple in that culture, right? And you have to understand that you might be a good salesperson, but the culture is the most important thing. Are they enjoying themselves coming to work, right? If you're gonna have people selling for you for more than 6 months, you build a team. And, you know, just for example, Pittsburgh is having this problem. Antonio Brown is not showing up for practice. He's one of the best players in the league, right? He's one of the best receivers in the league. He doesn't show up for practice and leave halfway through the game. So, like, what does that say about your culture for the team? Everybody gets paid, but this guy's doing this. So you have to make a decision. We can't have that in the locker room, as we say, right? So, you know, other 53 guys say, you know, let that guy do that, you know, and that starts. And once that starts, you got to cut that off or it will feed into your company and it get ingrained in your culture. And you're going to have problems.
Kills your morale and it makes it very hard to run a company. You can't play favorites, all these things. Well, Benjamin, we really covered a lot of topics here, more than I actually intended to. We went longer, but it's so nice to find somebody who gets sales and understands the value of it. And it's essential to any developed economy or any developing economy. And just leave you with a story. A guy was at a conference. He was getting out of the Navy. He was a F-18 fighter pilot and took off of... He'd gone to Annapolis. I mean, he's a really bright guy, charismatic. He didn't know what to do. Real estate, should I do this? I said, look, you need to be in a sales organization. You need to go to a place that sells business jets because you get tremendous commissions there. They want you there because you're a salesperson, whether you know it or not. And more importantly, because of all the thousands of hours you have in the seat, you can fly any plane to any potential client anywhere in the world and sell them and take them up for a test flight. You got to do this. Now, I haven't touched base with him to find out. And he loved flying too, but he didn't want to fly commercial. You know, it wasn't for him. He found it boring. You know, you're going 1,000 miles an hour and then you're flying around 500 miles an hour in some big lumpy FedEx transport jet or UPS jet. Not for him. But, you know, so shoot for the sky, shoot for the moon, really important. Hey, just tell us again where we find your work, what we can get here. You got a bunch of offers to your.
Yeah, on the website, gets people started at 360360salesconsulting.com. I'll have the book on there, Master the Art of Closing the Sale. You can get a signed copy if you order online there. You can go to Amazon. It's on there, Master the Art of Closing the Sale by Benjamin Brown. Or for people that want to reach out and figure out what the problem is, I have a dedicated URL, which is meetwithbenjamin.com, which puts you in a schedule that I can sit down and talk with you, figure out what actually is going on, what the problems is, right? So it's not, hey, I want to learn sales. It's, I'm a problem solver. What kind of problems are you going through? I mean, you know the same thing. You go in these organizations. You know, I was watching The Prophet last night. I love watching him because he walks in. And I tell my wife some, you know, some of the situations come. And she's like, how do they survive? How are they in business? I'm like, you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed.
God, yeah, you shake your head. You see it so many times. It's like the car companies. The car companies,
and they're making a million a year or that. I'm yeah. like, yeah. Yeah.
How do they do it? How is it done? And God, it's you just shake your head. It's amazing. Anyway, hey,
one of the things I want to finish off with is that to tell your constituents on here. That once you know how to sell properly, you work on your skill, which is a craft, which you continuously have to work on and improve. You can read all the books in the world, but you really need to do an action item, which is practice it. But once you have it down, I tell people the game really starts. And when the light comes on and they fully understand what sales is all about and they realize that they can do it, it becomes fun. It should be fun. Yeah. It's not stressful.
So great. Hey, well, really appreciate you coming on, Benjamin. I think sales is the one profession where you get to work for somebody else, assuming you're an employee, but you're really in business for yourself. And if you pick the right place, earnings becomes just so simple, so easy. And it's a formula. You just have to work the system for sure. And hey, as always, guys, be a part of the show. Email us kl@carrylutz.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please subscribe, like, and share. It really helps us out a lot when you do it. Helps get the message out to people that you have alternatives, other ways. You have a lot more than you think you have. And if you're just listening to the podcast, please share it with a friend. Let them know. And hopefully we can keep building the show and keep giving you more and more great guests like Benjamin. Benjamin, really appreciate you coming on. Wish you the best of luck. We'll talk to you again soon.
Talk to you soon. Anything, let me know. Have a great, awesome year.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.